Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Getting It Out podcast. That was Midnight with F-O-A-L. And that track appears on their recently released full-length Hellish Expectations on Metal Blade Records. It earned the number 7 spot on Billboard's current hard rock albums chart in its first week of release. And I don't know who gives a shit about that, but they sure do like to send out chart positions and press releases like anybody who actually listens to the music gives a fuck about that. It's a pet peeve of mine. What the fuck do I care how this performed? I mean, I hope it did well for both the band and the label. But come on, I got no skin in this game. Number 11 on top new artists. They're not a new fucking band. How does this even make sense? Number 30 on current rock albums. That's good. What's the other competition? How current is current? Number 31 on independent label current albums. Can't they just be the same fucking category? What's the difference? One position? And number 92 on current album sales. Seems good. Would you like to know about other countries' charting positions for Hellish Expectations? Sure you would. Canada, number 17, hard music albums. What does that mean? Hard music albums. Some rap records are pretty hard. Do they appear on those charts? I doubt it. Do they even have rap in Canada? Of course they do. Don't you remember Snow? Or have you heard of Drake? Drizzy, as they say. Number 59 in Canada on top current albums. And how about one more country stats? Germany, number 77 in the official top 100 albums. Those are the fucking chart positions for Midnight's Hellish Expectations. But they're number one on this episode of the podcast. They started out the episode. So what more could they want? They've made it. The band is, of course, led by Athanar, or however you say his name. He's hooded and cloaked, and he rocks and he rolls. And speaking of Europe, they're on a European tour at this very moment with Cyclone and High Command. And that's not where it ends as far as touring for Midnight in 2024. This June, they're going to be traveling throughout Mexico and South America with Discharge and Havoc. That's a very fucking cool tour. And in July, they're coming up to the rest of North America with Exciter, Wraith, and Hellwitch. Another excellent tour. Midnight fucking rules, and it has nothing to do with their chart positions. Anyway, speaking of heavy metal, on this episode, I've got an interview with Luca Indrio, bassist and vocalist of Necrot. Today, Friday, April 12th, they will release their latest album, Lifeless Birth, on Tank Crimes Records, and there's reasons to be excited. We'll talk about all that. But first, let's feel the burn of Hot Zone.
Kick it! Make family out of friends! Make friends out of enemies! Peace to my family! Make friends till they bury all the places we've been! We're never sitting it out! We be getting it in! Where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been! We're never sitting it out! We'll be getting it in! Where you getting it out?
I apologize for the vulgarity and high energy of that open. Apparently something about chart positions really gets my guff, and I'm just not capable of keeping that up. Don't blame me. I'm exhausted. That's an exaggeration too. I'm not exhausted at all. I could do this forever. This, of course, being podcasting. Earlier this week, I deemed it Death Metal Week, and I released episodes with Brodequin and Ingested, threw in a Punks and Dunks with Extinction Burst Records' Raymond Ruiz as well. And today is the fourth episode of the week, the final boss of Death Metal Week, the great Luca Indrio of Necrot. Their new album, Lifeless Birth, is out today, available everywhere, courtesy of the wonderful Tank Crimes Records. And what better time to release this podcast than on the release day? I know typically they want it out before that, but hey man, I got shit to do. If you join me for any or all episodes this week, I truly appreciate it. If you wanted to hear these earlier, you could have done so on the Patreon. Keep an eye on that Patreon. There's a lot of stuff coming up. Next week, we're going in a decidedly different direction, almost the complete opposite style of music. What is it? It's emo. Am I being serious? Yes. The first ever emo episode is on the way for Getting It Out podcast. You'll have to check in to see what that actually is. You might be surprised. Anyway, since I've already done a lot of talking this week, I don't think I should do much more. I think I should just get down to business and play you a track from Necrot, their new album, Lifeless Birth. The lead-off track even is called Cut the Cord, and then my conversation with Luca. for
Mortal.
For Mortal, yeah. And it was like a lot of things are very similar and some things aren't similar at all. You're on the cover of a magazine again. You got another killer record. And there's a whole lot less pandemic happening, though.
Yeah. Well, isn't that great?
So how have you been?
I've been great. I just got back from tour 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. We were on tour with Municipal Waste and Ghoul and Dead Eat. And we just did 32 shows and 44 days on the road. And I just got home 2 days ago. So I feel great because we finally got to play those Mortal songs live. And we played Cut the Cord from the new album. Mm-hmm. And now we're all excited because the new album is coming out soon. April 12th.
Yeah, April 12th to be exact. Pen Crimes
That's
Records.
It. People will be able to fucking hear the whole thing and not just two songs.
That's right. Well, hey, the two songs they got, Drill the Skull, Cut the Cord, finish my sentence, Shock the...
What's up?
You know, I was trying to get you to say Shock what? The Monkey. That's all. Didn't work out. But yeah, no, you know, try it out. I knew you were doing that tour. Actually, I talked to, I did one of these with Scotty Heath prior to the tour to promote the tour and all that. And then you guys came, Necrot Alone came very nearby to me. I wasn't able to make it. You played a show in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, but I think it was just
you
guys.
What were you doing, man? I'm joking.
I think it was just you guys. Did you do some solo dates too?
Yeah, because the tour started and ended on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. So we ended up playing three shows on the way out and three shows on the way back. So pretty much we ended up doing the coast to coast four times on this tour.
Damn.
It was pretty intense. A lot of driving.
Yeah, yeah, but it's like you said, one I'm sure you were happy to finally get out there and do, because a lot of shit has happened for Necrot since that last record. Personal stuff.
Yeah, totally.
We don't need to rehash all that shit. Somebody can just pick up the new issue of Decibel and read all about
it
there,
which,
which I 100%. Just did myself. And I'm glad to hear that you guys are on the other side of all of that. At least it seems so.
Yeah, it's excellent, man. It's excellent. We have been wanting to be in this position for the last 4 years. And we finally get to do it. We're about to announce our headlining tour, which is going to be a 6 week tour in June. From June 5th to July 13th. And then we're going to go to Europe July 26th to August 26th.
Wow. So you basically got the year planned out already, huh?
Yeah. I mean, we just played 32 shows and we're about to play another 95.
That's a lot for a year. Or is it?
It's
or
good.
Would you prefer more?
Well, we're trying to get something else for the fall because it's never enough.
Right.
You know, we got a new album, so it's like now it's time to play the songs.
Yeah.
You know, and go everywhere. You know, there's gonna be people wanting to hear us pretty much everywhere. So we want to make sure we get close enough to everybody, so everybody gets his chance if they want. Mm-hmm.
Does this feel like I don't want to use the word redemption, but I will just because it makes sense. Like you didn't have the opportunity to do all those things with Mortal, and now you've got it with Lifeless Purr.
Yes, 100%. It feels like, you know, we're getting our lives back.
Yeah.
It feels great.
So tell me then about Lifeless Birth. I think the real easy question that I'm sure most people ask is what's different about this record from the previous?
Well, I think it's a more mature album. We had more time on our hands and it's just a natural progression. And then I had a lot of inspiration for it because, there were 3 years, very intense years, previous to the album, and like a lot of things that we had to face on a personal level, and it was just like there was so much repressed emotions and stuff that needed to come out musically and lyrically. So there was a lot to combine in one record, you know. And I think that like I'm also in a better space because. You know, I write the songs for Necrot and like I always have to do that on my own. Like, you know, I do that in my house, in my guitar. And like, if you're not in a good mental state, you probably still come out with a sick album, but it's going to be like not as good as if you're in a better headspace. And I feel like that for this album, I was in a really good place because I made some changes in my personal life and my living situation is so much better. And I just had more time to really concentrate and get the best out of myself. Mm-hmm. And also, like, I feel that, like, we didn't have to rush for once, you know, because usually we go on tour so much that then you end up writing music in between tours. Always have to break the process into pieces. Oh, I'll come back to it after the next tour. And then you get back from it. And, you know, a month and a half went by. And then this time, it was like, you know, I had that length of time uninterrupted to really dedicate it to songwriting. And also Sonny Reinhardt, our guitar player, had more time to come up with his solo stuff because he writes all of his solo parts, guitar solo parts. And like, that takes time too, because usually they're like, you know, 8 or 10 parts in the album or more. So it's like, he also had more time to do it. So it's like, I feel like time was something that was different from the previous albums. We actually had time to do this album. And I feel like it shows, you know, it shows. And also it's like, you know, we have more experience. We've been playing together for 13 years. We're very confident. And we have a good, very good chemistry. You know, we never change band members. It's like, we're so used to play together.
Yeah, I think it's getting easier. A real trio.
Yeah, a real trio.
Well, I usually will throw out, anytime I'm talking to somebody that's in a trio, I give them the opportunity to tell me who they think the best trio ever is.
Well, to me, it was the years that Motorhead was a trio.
That's the answer. You got it.
It's easy, right?
Amazingly, you're the only person who has ever got that question right.
Because, well, some people say it's like, you know, Slipknot, and they're like 14 people.
Yeah, no, they got all sorts of answers, but it's never the right one. It's Motorhead. It's as simple as that.
Can't go wrong with that.
No, well, you said some interesting things there about the writing process and stuff I never considered. Though, going back to when we spoke, I guess it was 4 years ago, almost 4 years ago. You said some stuff that to me was very insightful for a death metal musician about what your songs are about, how you write. And something you just said there about how you want to write your songs when you're in a positive headspace is interesting to me, because I don't think people think of death metal as most metal as music that is written in a positive headspace just because of the way it sounds, right?
Well, but it's like, you know, no matter what, it's like what kind of music you play is what you love to do the most, you know, is your passion. So it's like you want to be in a good mental state to do that, regardless if your songs are aggressive or depressive or whatnot.
Yeah.
To me, it feels like that I can come up with the best stuff when I'm actually in a good mood or in a good place. Not if I'm struggling with other personal shit or my life is a disaster that is like, I'm not able to fully concentrate on the songwriting because I'm too worried about everything else, sure. You know? Then it's like, even if our music can be aggressive or depressive or whatever you want, but it's like, doesn't mean that I have to be pissed off or depressed while I'm writing it.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense when you say it out loud. It's just, you know, the perception.
Because if I'm depressed, I probably don't even want to do shit.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that you seem to have benefited from, or you mentioned changing locations. I know you're down in Mexico now. You went from California to Mexico. Is the next album you going to be Costa Rica? Were you just heading tropical?
No, I'm going to stay here, man. Yeah. I love living in Mexico. And here I live with my wife. And I like it down here. I've been here for 4 years. And things have been so much better since I moved down here. It's way more laid back. And you know, you don't have that pressure that you have living in one of the most expensive parts of the U.S. Because California, the Bay Area, became so expensive. It wasn't like that when I moved there in 2008. But in the last few years, it became extremely expensive. So then you're constantly struggling.
Right.
And that's not positive, because then you don't have time, because you're working all the time, or you have to worry about a bunch of bills and whatnot. And then it's like, you know, I don't need it. For me as a musician, it's like, I need to go back after a month or a month and a half of tour. I need to go back into a laid back place. You know, I don't need to live in a place where there is shit going on all the time. You know, I'd rather live in a place where is not a big city, that where there is a nature, where I can go out and be by myself. You know, when I
don't
have
that would
city
be different
pressure.
If you didn't go out and tour all the time?
Maybe if you don't go out and tour all the time, eventually you could feel like you need more of a social environment around you. also because of like eventually you're looking for opportunities. Mm-hmm. While to me, it's like when I'm back at home, I'm not looking for opportunities, or I'm not trying to find someone to offer me a job or something like that, or the occasion to go out and do crazy shit, because we already go out and do crazy shit with the band for half of the year. You know, right. When I'm home, I'd rather not have all those inputs. You know, I'd rather have the peace to actually play music and compose and do things that require less distraction rather than more. Mm-hmm.
Sure. I'm assuming something here. I know one of the things that I assume makes life with Necrot a little easier is working with somebody like Scotty Heath and Tank Crimes Records. Tell me about that relationship, how that has come together and stayed together, and why it works so well for you guys.
Well, because Scotty always puts the extra effort to make sure that we are happy, you know, and that what makes it work, because we see the effort that he puts into Necrot, you know. And also it's like, as of today, you know, we get contact by other labels, of course, or bigger labels even. And it's like, up until today, he has been the one always offering us the best deal, mm-hmm. you know, for the way we work. And like, we like to have a lot of control over what we do and what goes down with Necrot. And 10 Crimes allows you to do that and everything you want, you know. And it's like, you know, we still like, we are still a pretty DIY band, because it's like, we pay to record our own albums. We pay to master them. We pay all the artists that make any art for Necrot. Mm-hmm. Like, we invest money in the band, and we own all of our music and right. our records and our artworks. And, you know, it's like, that's the way Necrot has always existed. So it's like, for us, if a bigger label comes in, you know, they don't give you all that freedom, you know, right. they want to own.
They want a piece of that. Yeah.
They want a piece of everything. And then it's like, what they offer, if what they offer is not more than what we get from 10 Crimes, it's like, why would we accept that offer if sure. we're losing all control over everything? Because it's like, sure, they say that, like, you know, they can give you more exposure, because, you know, a big label will have like 2 million followers or whatever, you know. It's like, they can give you a lot more exposure, which should lead you to get bigger tour offers or whatnot. But it's like, we're already doing all of that. So it's like, that part of their offer that could be appealing for a new band mm-hmm. that is trying to be noticed and is still unnoticed, I understand. But for us, it's not enough.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I'm not saying here that we're going to be with Scotty 10 Crimes forever, no matter what.
Right.
But it's like, if a big label wants to sign Necrot, they need to come with an offer that is, you know, an offer that they will make to a big band or something. Something that will right. really, like, you know, push us to the point that we're like, okay, fuck, we can't say no to this. But, you know,
yeah.
if
yeah.
it's not there,
an offer you can't refuse. Gonna happen. Yeah.
If I write like the Godfather,
that's right.
Like, you sign here, I'll shoot you in the face.
I didn't mean to go that way with the Italian thing. I swear. I didn't mean
that. too late. But yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, that's just how it is. And, you know, working with Scott is like, we have been friends forever and we see a lot of the things in a similar way. And also it's like, Scotty is a real smart entrepreneur, mm-hmm. record label guy that knows. He has been doing. He has experience in the music business to all levels, and like he is really smart in the way he does things.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
the way he markets stuff
and clever
everything.
Too. He brought back the self-addressed stamped envelope. 100%.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. Which I got the little laminate sitting over there somewhere for the new album.
That's awesome.
Just a cool thing to do. And it's a great way to market a band that, like, I don't even know if Necrot needs that, but you get it. And that's what's cool about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a total
it's
bonus
great.
Stuff.
Yeah. And also, it's like, you know, it tries to like create a community of people that follows Stan Crimes and follows Necrot that they're
successfully.
Successfully, but also like in a way that is a little bit more old fashioned, you know, a sachet envelope or a flexi disc or, you know, something that brings it a little back to how things used to be, because now you have this like playlist culture where it's like people don't even listen to a record anymore for start to finish. They just pick the one song that they like and they just throw it into one of their Apple Music or Spotify playlist. And that's their approach to listening to a band, which when you know, we grew up in a way that you would go buy the record and you would listen to the record from start to finish.
Front to back,
and
it's every like, time. It's still the way I do it.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. So it's like, you know, Scotty understand that and the importance of like physical copies and also making a package for the record that is appealing. It's not just like, you know, a folded piece of paper with a vinyl inside. There is a multiple color variants. There is foil stamps, gatefold. You're getting something that is really worth getting. And it's like us as a band, we spend a lot of money on artworks. You know, we'll spend thousands of dollars for every album to make sure we have the sickest artwork on the front, on the back, on the inside, on the inner gatefold, and whatnot, on our t-shirts. So like, you know, when you're getting something from us, you're getting more than just the record. You're getting, you know, a piece of art, you know, a badass artwork. Like, we're not trying to cut corner or save money on the package. And Scotty doesn't, you know, or the artwork, all of that is like, it's important because it's like these days producing an album is pretty expensive. So you end up having to sell it for $25. If you're selling a gatefold, it can be cheaper than that. You know, used to be 20, used to be 18, but now it has to be 25 because the prices are expensive. So you have to make sure that you're giving something to people that is worth it musically and aesthetically, you know, and Scotty understand that.
That's right. And from what I've seen, I just saw him posting videos of the record with the foil snapping, with the gatefold all just yesterday. And I thought it looks really good. Speaking of what it looks like, the artwork is fucking insane. At least what I've seen, the front cover.
No, yeah, it is.
And you work with the same artists for all your stuff so far, right?
Yeah. Besides the first LP, right, that was a collection of our demos.
Yeah.
The front artwork is our demongram. That's how we call it. It was done by Kyle House, a friend of ours. But after that, everything was done by Maral.
How much influence or direction do you put into like the artwork for Lifeless Birth?
Well, a good amount, but like we go back and forward. Me and Maral, I'm the one who communicates with Maral back and forward, and then I talk with the band. And you know, it is definitely a process. You know, I show him the lyrics. We talk about ideas. We talk about color schemes. We talk about, you know, and then eventually he'll start sketching something. And we're like, okay, this idea is great conceptually, but it's not working visually, you know. So then we're like, scratch it all up, because it needs to work both conceptually and visually, because you can't have one without the other. You know, you can't have something visually striking that doesn't fits with the lyrics or the sense of the record, or on the opposite, you can't have something that fits conceptually the lyrics that looks not appropriate for a metal album or whatever, you know. It just doesn't look great, or, you know, you want it to be fully satisfied. He wants us to be fully satisfied and we want him to be fully satisfied as well. So it is a long process that it doesn't end until everybody's stoked, you know.
Well, I think it seems like you landed on that with this one. It looks ridiculous, but it's awesome.
I think we landed on this one with every single one.
Yes, I agree too. I would agree as well. But this one, when I first saw it, I was like, what the fuck is that? You know, like, and it was truly like a drop jaw moment. Like, what the
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, like, on this album, I wanted to play more with different colors. Mm-hmm. And I told Maral that was like, you know, let's push to a little bit more modern direction as far as like having a more colorful cover.
Yeah.
You know, our logo is fucking yellow on this album. You know, it's not as conventional.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
I do want to like, you know, I wanted to not say that like, you know, oh wow, something that never had been done before, because it has been done before. I did want it to break some conventional color schemes that are often associated with extreme metal, mm-hmm. you know, and then push our boundaries to like, hey, we can have some pink and yellow and purple and light green and blue. Fuck it. Like, you know, why not?
Certainly. I love when metal bands use brighter colors. This is hardly done. And when something sticks out on the shelf, I think it's very cool.
Yeah. I mean, also because it's like our sound is a little bit like, you know, we sound like a little bit like an older band, mm-hmm. you know, we have some modern elements, but we still have a pretty old times kind of sound.
Yeah.
Especially also with the equipment that we use and our tones and stuff. But it's like, I do like to you know, break the rules a little bit, you know, why not, you know, because I also like, I know, I, you know, I get it that like, you know, there is old bands that started this genre and they're always going to be like the kings of metal, you know, all these older bands that started death metal or black metal or whatever. But it's like, I also feel that like now there is bands that they've been doing their own thing and trying to find their own sound and trying to establish themselves like us and other bands that now we have been around for over a decade. Mm-hmm. And I feel that like, we do want to leave our mark. We don't want to just be like a copy of something that has already been done so gratefully by these legendary death metal bands. You know, we do want to, we want to leave our mark and we want to have our sound and we want to have our say, you know, mm-hmm. also because like, I noticed like even lately, there is an all new generation of kids coming to shows that they're like 18, 17, 16, 20, mm-hmm. you know? And I can tell that some of these kids, they're like, they look up to us. They really look up to us. And they're like, you guys are fucking great. Or they'll be like, you guys are the first death metal band I ever heard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, so it's like, I feel that like, you know, bands, newer bands like us, which, you know, 13 years is not even like such a new band. It's like, you know, we do want to have our say and we don't want to put ourselves limitations that they're too related to the past, mm-hmm. you know? We do want to have, you know, I have a song that talks like Cut the Cord. It talks about like, you know, all the shit that you get fed into your brain through your phone.
Right.
You know, it's not exactly like a classical death metal lyrics mm-hmm. talking about your phone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So I do like to not give a shit about like, you know, what is that you're supposed to do? What is that you're supposed to say to follow into a certain category? Like, you know, we are a metal band that plays in 2024. And it's like, you know, we have to deal with today's reality and this is what we're doing. And it's like, we're not going to limit ourselves to a certain color scheme or a certain thematic of lyrics.
Right. And why should you? You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, all right. What has been like the greatest gift that playing heavy metal has afforded you? Like, what have you gotten from this?
Everything. Like, I mean, it gave me the drive to give a shit about life, you know, have something to concentrate on because everything else didn't feel right or you don't feel like you belong there. But then when you're playing extreme metal, you're like right where you're supposed to be. And then it's also like, to me, it's like, he has shaped almost every single decision I make in my life because it's like, I left Italy when I was 21 to go to live in the United States because I wanted to play music mm-hmm. And I wanted to play extreme metal. I didn't want to play anything else. And so that was the first drive that I got from music. It was like, you need to be a place where people actually gives a shit and want to play music for real. So that was like, you know, it gave me the possibility of finding the strength of leaving everything and move really far away. And like, then it gave me the possibility of like sharing insane experiences with my bandmates, Chad and Sonny, traveling all over, playing music and writing albums and getting to do stuff that you wouldn't, like, you know, we have played in front of 2,000 people in Times Square with Cannibal Corpse and Morbid Angel. It's nuts. You know what I mean?
It's pretty cool.
It's like, yeah, if you say that to 15-year-old me, it'll be like, okay. Oh, fuck yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you blow your fucking mind.
Right.
So it's like, you know, it's like, it has been a fantastic journey. And like, you know, music is something that really saves your life, because otherwise, like, you know, you have this creative outlet and you have the possibility of sharing with your close friends in your band insane experiences. And it's just like, you know, there's nothing that compares to it. Like, there's nothing I could have done that could have gave me so much.
That's great. Well, I'm glad it's doing it for you. And I'm glad that you're able to give that to other people who, like you said, are looking up to you like you're the coolest people in the world. So it's cyclical.
Yeah. And you know, one day eventually one of those kids will start a band.
That's right.
And they'll steal one of my riffs and it's going to be great.
So there you have it. That was my conversation with Luca of Necrot. An absolute pleasure to speak with him again. If you haven't heard Lifeless Birth yet, you can do it immediately, right now. I made sure to release this episode on the day the album was released worldwide. So please go pick it up or listen to it, stream it, do whatever you want, buy it, throw it out. It's all up to you. You can do with it whatever you wish once it's yours. Just be sure to spend a little time with it. I want to thank you if you stuck around all week long for the three different death metal episodes I released this week. In case you missed it, first it was Brodequin, then it was Ingested, and this is Necrot. Three different styles of death metal, though all fit under the umbrella of the genre. And hey, if you just came around for this episode, that's cool too. But do me a favor, open up your podcast playing app of your choice and rate it 5 stars and review it. It being this podcast, Getting It Out. And if you're interested in basketball as well, check out the episode I released just yesterday with Raymond Ruiz of Extinction Burst. It's on the sub podcast I do called Punks and Dunks, where I discuss the NBA with fellow appreciators of basketball and underground music. I could hoot and holler at you a little while longer, but I think I've done enough of that this week. Please consider signing up for the Getting It Out Patreon. That link is in the show notes. You could have heard all these episodes a week or so earlier, and some a lot earlier than that. And that's always where you'll find the next episodes that are going to be released. I've got quite a few recorded since I just went on a streak of death metal. You could wait a little longer for a few of those. We're going to be talking hardcore. We're going to be talking punk rock and even some electronic music in the upcoming episodes. I feel like I got to get some stoner rock in here too. Some doom metal maybe. How about this? Speaking of doom metal, I'm going to end this episode with a track from New York City Death Doomster's Funeral Leech. They just dropped a new record called The Illusion of Time on Carbonized Records. Carbonized Records actually is run by Necrot drummer Chad Gailey. The track is called Ceaseless Wheel of Becoming. It's 8 minutes long, so strap in and nod out. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.